are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November the 13th. Friday the 13th and Fridays with Brian. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and in high school, I had a friend who collected opposing teams' used sweat towels from Pistons home games at the Palace.
Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast and spending your Fridays and every day with us as we're ramping up towards the NBA draft, which is there's actual things happening with the Detroit Pistons right now. Very exciting. What a time to be alive. We finally have things to talk about here. But we're talking LaMelo Ball today. We're talking Locked On NBA mock draft today. We are talking about Brian and his big board 1.0 finally revealed, long awaited. And we're also going to talk about who might be the number one pick in a draft a couple years from now, right from our backyard here in Southeast Michigan. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brian a follow at @BShook12 and give the Play Michigan account @Play_Michigan for my day job, playmichigan.com. Give that a follow as well. And check out that DraftKings offer. Sign up for the pre-launch right now and get $200 of free credits on your account whenever online gambling launches, and we don't know when that is quite yet, but check that out at playmichigan.com. Brian Shook joining us. How's it going, man?
Absolutely fantastic. Big day of sports today. Yesterday watched some golf, some football at night, some high school basketball. I'm becoming a junkie, I think.
Yeah, it's a weird time because I'm excited about the draft. You like the things you mentioned are all good things. But on the other hand, we got the pandemic here in Michigan kicking up even more. So it's just this weird time. But 2020, it wouldn't be 2020 if it wasn't a weird thing of mixed emotions and weird emotional swings. So let's just roll with it. And speaking of emotional swings, I wanted to pass along probably the biggest Pistons news from Thursday, and that is that LaMelo Ball had a workout in Southern California on Thursday, and the Pistons were one of three teams that attended it. They were there along with the Warriors, and I believe the Timberwolves were at one a couple days back as well. So there's all the teams. The Chicago Bulls were linked to him a couple days ago. Basically all the teams, Charlotte was there, teams in the top five have all been linked to LaMelo Ball workouts. The Pistons are sitting at number 7. Jonathan Givony of ESPN.com, who started the Draft Express and then ended up at ESPN.com, one of the biggest draft experts out there these days, has talked about how it just kind of appears to be that momentum is building towards LaMelo Ball is positioned to be the number one pick in the draft. So certainly he's not going to fall to number 7 at this point, but yet the Pistons, who are sitting at number 7, are not only attending workouts, but there was reports earlier from ESPN.com that they are interested in him as well. LaVar Ball has talked about how the Knicks at 8 and the Pistons at 7 seem like big, good fits. He wasn't talking about the numbers. He was talking about just the teams being good fits. What do you make of this, Brian? I mean, where are you at? Not about your thoughts on LaMelo Ball. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show, but is this just smoke? Is this just Weaver throwing stuff out there? Or are you believing some of this stuff at this point?
Well, I hope it's smoke. And I know, I mean, these combine two of your worst case scenarios in the draft, I believe, as you positioned the other night. And
one and two, actually.
Yeah, one and two. And and I'll probably echo those things as well. There's a lot to like about LaMelo Ball's game. The hype does come with the sizzle does come with some stake, but
and the podcast downloads would probably go up.
Absolutely. Yes, they would. But I hope it is some smoke, because that would mean moving to trade, you know, having to trade up, and that's the opposite strategy that I think the Pistons really should have walking into the makeup of this draft not being as star-studded at the top end as you would see in some other years.
And we've only got a few more days left. If there's a God out there that says that we only need to talk about LaMelo Ball for a few more days here on Locked On Pistons. But what else we're going to talk about is your thoughts on the draft. And we threw this out there the last couple of days, and the kudos to Doug Branson, who kind of runs the NBA channel and runs the Hornets podcast. He used to host the Locked On Hornets. He put together the mega podcast on Locked On NBA that everyone should check out. It's really good, well put together with the top six picks in Wednesday's show. And then at number seven, myself made the pick for the Pistons there, and I took James Wiseman. I just thought it was the best player available. I thought that it was the sensible move for a team that kind of needs something to move the needle. And James Wiseman, certainly not a slam dunk prospect. Certainly there are some warts there. But at number seven, as opposed to maybe getting a role player or a player that's a little bit more of a roll of the dice, I just felt like that was the move. So that's what I did there. But what about you, Brian? You've been studying these guys for the past couple of months. You know what's up with the Pistons. What would you have done in those shoes? And we don't have to rehash. You can check out on Twitter, the Locked On Pistons account. You threw out the top six, but also the Celtics made the offer of 14, 26, and 30 for number seven. What's the move that you would have been if you were sitting in the war room and had to make that final call?
Well, let's first address the trade end of it, because that's a pretty compelling offer coming from Boston. That's three first-round picks to a team whose cupboard definitely needs to be stocked with talent. So on its face, it's something that a lot of fans and initially you want to jump at. But there's two things I don't like about that offer. First off, sliding all the way down to 14 is a little further than I would like to slide in this draft. A lot of the players that I really like were still on the board, but might not be there falling, you know, that many picks down. So I would have liked to seen somewhere, you know, in the middle, on the top end of that picks, and those three guaranteed contracts coming out of the draft is something that I'm a little tentative taking. And I think both of those issues I would have with that could have been alleviated by maybe contacting a third team to get involved. I'm looking at like New York, who had the ninth pick or has the ninth pick. Washington has the 10th, Phoenix 11, even maybe San Antonio 12 there, and maybe get them involved. So you could walk out of that trade only falling into, let's say, Phoenix at 11, and also pick up that number 26, where Phoenix ends up sliding down to 14 and then taking that 30th pick, where Boston jumps up to 7. I think that's the best case scenario, how the mock draft fell, because that mock draft fell just about as nice as it could have for a Pistons fan. Other than Killian Hayes maybe being taken would have been the only difference. Other than that, I thought that fell just about as nicely as you could have hoped for as a Pistons fan. So if we could have made that trade with a third team, I probably would have jumped on it. But I think in the situation that the Pistons are in right now, you made the right choice not to pull the trigger as it was offered to you. And I know you were kind of under the clock, so maybe you didn't have the time necessarily to get somebody else involved. But where you were at, I think the Wiseman pick was as close to a no-brainer as it could be. I, you know, we'll talk about my big board, and I would have, you know, I think you're splitting hairs at that point with Avdija and Wiseman, and it's just kind of who you like better. If you were able to make a three-team trade, I would have liked to follow, say, 11 or 12, and again, I'm going to say the name again, Kyra Lewis, coming out of there with them, and then maybe with 26, you could have flipped that, turned that into Xavier Tillman or Leandro Bomero, somebody like that, which would have been nice to leave the draft with. But I think you made the right choice saying no to that trade, and I don't think anybody could argue with the Wiseman pick at number seven.
Yeah, it's good value, and I'll echo what you said about 26 and 30. This isn't a very good draft, and I think we all kind of like that team, that, you know, 10 to 14, 10 to 15 range. It's still pretty good, but you're just taking flyers at 26 and 30. It's one of those, and this is most drafts really, except for the super deep ones there, you'd rather have 32, you'd rather have the second pick of the second round as opposed to 28. You see this happen a lot of years where teams try to trade out of 25 to 30 just because that's a guaranteed contract. You got to give 3 plus 1 years, as opposed to sometimes you get a second round guy, you can go 1 plus 1 years, you can go 2 plus 1 years. You don't have to commit to the full 3 plus 1 years. And that's a lot more valuable, especially for guys that might not be good enough to be on your roster in their third year as an NBA player. So those late first round picks, not as valuable as you might think and on their surface as well. So appreciate that and appreciate the feedback. But again, got to plug it one more time. The NBA draft is just days away now. It's coming up on Wednesday. And the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every first round pick. I made pick number 7. It was James Wiseman on Thursday. But listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear the projections of each pick, an expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on your past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get your podcast. But more importantly, Brian's going to finally reveal his big board, top 7 picks. That's his 1.0. Maybe he'll give a 2.0 sometime next week as we can blow through what will be a very exciting and whirlwind next 10 days or so for the NBA and the Detroit Pistons franchise. But Brian's going to give us his big board. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The way that I start off my day pretty much every day, except on those worst parts of the month where maybe I'm between boxes. That's the worst part. And if you get onto the Built Bar train, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. You got the 6 new flavors: the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, the carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, flavors like raspberry, salted caramel. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're as good as they sound. They're soft and they're easy to chew as well. And the best part, maybe the second best part, the taste is the best part. The second best part is the Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. They're not going to throw you off track with the calories. You're going to lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat, get you the energy before the workout, help you with the recovery after the workout, maybe that late night snack that's not going to make you feel guilty about it, or that a little bit of energy, maybe in the car, maybe right when you wake up. It's just a very versatile treat that's not something that's going to kill your calories and kill your nutrition like most treats somehow tend to do. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet, great for all modern diets that want to keep those calories low and protein and fiber high. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
The NBA draft near the holidays? Pretty unprecedented times for the NBA and us here at the Locked On Pistons podcast. But unprecedented times give unprecedented opportunities. So we have decided to do an NBA draft holiday giveaway. By the time the NBA draft rolls around, I, Brother Brian, will have done over 20 draft profiles of the players our listeners are most excited about the Pistons potentially picking. So on the Fridays with Brian episodes on November 6th, November 13th, and November 20th, we will be giving a clue about a fact that was mentioned in one of the draft profiles. Your challenge will be to figure out which player we are talking about for each of the 3 clues. Once you have determined who the 3 draft prospects are, you need to find out the number in which they end up being drafted on November 18th. And once armed with that information, you need to add those 3 numbers up and make sure you follow and DM us at Locked On Pistons on Twitter with the number that you come up with between November 20th and November 26th. Once we have all of the correct entries, we will do a random number generator to select the winner and announce it on the November 27th episode of Fridays with Brian. Oh yeah, the prize. You'll get to look clean and nice in the latest Piston drip. That's right, you'll be one of the first Piston fans to be able to rock the jersey of the newest Piston that they draft on November 18th. Get it for yourself, or it would make a great holiday gift for family, friends, or that Piston fan thought you'd be simping for. Once we select a winner, we will contact you and get the size and style you want. Happy holidays and happy drafting. And here is this week's clue. This player played on a high school team with a player that was on the Pistons roster last season.
Brian gives us his big board 1.0. We put him to work these last couple of months. He's been watching more film than Bill Belichick, and he's ready to tell us all about the NBA draft and what the Pistons should do. We're going to start at number 1 just because we don't want to make it super anticlimactic at the end. So we got Brian with his top 7 and then maybe a couple others that we can top off there at the end of it. But so what do you think at number 1? What's the number 1 dream scenario for a guy to fall to the Pistons at 7?
Well, I think this has been kind of the consensus number one for everybody from start to finish in all the draft previews. It's Anthony Edwards. This guy's the best offensive player in the draft. He can score just about any way. The low percentage from behind 3-point is a little concerning, but he probably tried to do too much at Georgia. He was the focus of every defense they played, so he never really had many uncontested shots. The shot looks nice. The release is quick. It would be a gift if somehow the Pistons were able to get Edwards falling to number 7, but he's number 1.
Yeah, Edwards is probably going to be in my top 2, maybe top 3. I'm going to release my big board 5.0 coming up on Monday's show. But who's number 2 for you?
Mine is Denny Avdija. I think he's the most complete player in the draft when you're taking both ends of the court into consideration. The shot, again, we'd like to see a little bit more consistency and improvement from the perimeter. But the shot, again, it's nice. I think that will come in to play, or through some coaching, that shot will get a little bit nicer. But I think he's the most complete player. His body's pretty close to, I think, NBA ready. It looks like he's got some strength. So at number 2, I have Denny Avdija.
The 19-year-old Israeli, number 2. Who's number 3 on your big board?
The gentleman you took in the mock draft, James Wiseman. You know, it's still the NBA. Size matters. And as his perimeter game hopefully continues to improve, you can't ignore the shot blocking. And again, this is basketball, so 7-footers are still always going to be relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so a little conventional. Avdija maybe a little bit higher on your list than maybe the conventional, where he's maybe 4 or 5 on the average list right now, but pretty conventional so far. But I understand you're going to get to the point guards from here on out. Is that right? And who's number 4?
Yes. Number 4. And again, maybe my love for him has him higher on my list than most others, but it's Kyra Lewis Jr. It's a highlight film watching him play. He's a blur. What I think sets him apart from any of these other point guards in the class is he has a skill set that puts him at or near the top of NBA point guards in the league right now with his speed. I mean, it's just a blur watching him play. And I think these other guys, whatever combination of skills that they have, they're not going to be at the top of the NBA point guard situation or point guard rankings in any of them yet before they develop a little bit more. Kyra Lewis jumps in day one. He's going to be one of the fastest players in the NBA.
Kyra Lewis, number 4, probably maybe higher than I've seen him on any list. Not that that's a bad thing. I mean, I'm probably the only person I know with Onyeka Okongwu on my number 1. So I appreciate that. So who's number 5 on your list?
Another point guard here is Tyrese Halliburton. The size is so nice, and he does just about everything well on both sides of the court. It's really tough not to like him. And the off the court and the leadership stuff, that has to count for a lot, again. But I think it's the same thing. He does everything very well. There isn't one thing that I can look at and say he's going to set himself apart from NBA point guards because of that skill. He just doesn't have that I see right now. So that's why I have him behind Kyra. But again, that, you know, his size and his basketball IQ, he's going to be a really good player in the NBA.
And who was number 6?
Number 6 is Killian Hayes. Really nice.
So Halliburton
game
over Hayes. I mean, that's this is kind of the debate that could be happening at the Pistons war room on draft night, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the French connection and the friendship with Sekou are some nice things that may tip the scales to Killian Hayes in some people's minds. And, you know, all things being equal, they may, you know, that may be kind of the tiebreaker that they can help develop together. But yeah, I have Hayes right under Halliburton.
And then to close out the top 7, who'd you have?
LaMelo Ball. I mean, there is stake behind that sizzle, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that the guy probably will have the easiest transition into the NBA as far as off-the-court stuff and the lifestyle. He's been around it. He's been in it. So, you know, that will be something that helps him to easily or more quickly acclimate himself to the NBA lifestyle. But, yeah, he's number 7 on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you're right. In some ways, they have been living this life. They've had a Facebook show about their family. But on the other hand, he's been in Lithuania and Australia. So it's kind of a strange dichotomy where, yeah, he's been in the limelight, but he's also been living in foreign countries for much of these last couple of years. Strange a strange thing. And like you said, number seven, I don't think he's going to make my top seven, but I would have like, I wouldn't be real happy if he falls to seven and the Pistons take him, but that's not that bad. Like, I mean, that would be okay. And I would definitely see the why you would do that if you're Troy Weaver to take him at seven. So I don't have like a huge issue with that. But to me, no, he's not, probably not going to be in my top seven. But yeah. Did you have some tough omissions that you had to make?
Yeah, I mean, I was point guard heavy on the back end of my top seven because I really think getting a ball handler, you know, onto the roster is really important. And this class lines up, the deepness of this class lines up with that need. So I think not taking advantage of that wouldn't be a good thing for Troy Weaver in this first year to, you know, set up kind of the person who's going to set the tempo for your franchise for years to come. So that's why I have that. So right outside of my top seven were maybe some of those other guys that just didn't necessarily fit the point guard role, obviously. And it was Onyeka Okongwu and Patrick Williams were the two that were just right outside. I was kind of battling with myself in those last one or two slots, but ultimately decided, you know, the point guard position is where the Pistons really, really need to take a good look in the mirror and make sure that, you know, if possible, they can leave draft night with a point guard.
Yeah, and there's some logic to that, given that if you're going to draft a point guard, you obviously want him to be your starter in a couple years in short amount of time. And rookie point guards just don't have a lot of success in the NBA. It's going to be a mess for a while. Darius Garland might still be a good player, but he was really bad for the Cavs this past year, and you're not going to give up on him. So, yeah, there's some logic into saying, yeah, get our point guard now, and while we're bad this year, let's have him take his lumps out there and try to mature into the position as time goes on. I get that. I understand that. And you're not off the clock yet. We've got three more profiles coming up next week that I'm excited to hear about. We've got Tyrese Maxey, Cassius Winston, and Tyrell Terry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll see what you have to say about those guys. Maxey, a guy who started high and maybe went down. Is he rising? We don't know. Terry's a guy who put on a bunch of weight and is getting that size shored up, and there's some Steph Curry talk about him, and of course that's a little ridiculous, but a guy who shoots it well. And then Cassius Winston, who we just love here in the state of Michigan and in the Southeast Michigan as well. You, a D Jesuit Cubs in the house there. But thanks, Brian, for the 1.0. We'll see if we can squeeze in maybe a 1.5 or 2.0 before Wednesday's draft. I'll have my 5.0 big board coming up on Monday's show, and we'll look forward to doing that. But we'll talk about the 2021 draft or 2022 draft, one of the drafts down the line, and one of the more probably, let's say it, the most intriguing prospect to come out of the state of Michigan since Chris Webber, or maybe before. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, Thursday night on ESPN2, the Ipsy Prep Academy in the state of Michigan played on ESPN2. They were playing at Concordia College in Ann Arbor, taking on Team Sizzle. It's not exactly Royal Oakimbo against Birmingham Groves, like most of the high school season starts here in Southeast Michigan. But there was that kind of part of a showcase, an exhibition game. Look, I could go on and on and on about who Imani Bates is. The assumption is that you, if you're listening to this podcast, you have at least a baseline knowledge about who Imani Bates is. I was involved as a producer and writer and narrator of a documentary about Imani Bates called Ipsy's Imani. That's the pinned tweet on my Twitter profile. I could go on and on about him. He's the number one player in the country for the junior class. It's a consensus. It's every national recruiting board. He was playing at a public school at Ypsilanti Lincoln. Him and his father, EJ Bates, started a prep school where it's these guys are basically a basketball team and they take online classes, and now they're playing a national schedule because in the MHSAA, you can't play teams from outside of the state. So it's kind of this whole new thing where they're putting the whole apparatus into their own. They're controlling the whole thing. They're controlling the narrative. I tried to get credentials to go to this game for the Detroit News because they wanted me to write about it, and I was turned down, and this is obviously COVID related as well. So I wrote about it from my couch here in downtown Detroit. But Imani Bates scored 36 points, played relatively well, and obviously it's a sliding scale because he has such big expectations that you might expect a little bit more. But this was his first game on national TV. So I've seen this guy play in person probably 10 or 12 times at this point. I know what I expect from Imani, but Brian, who has heard me talk about Imani off and on for the last year and a half or so. This was your first time seeing him in a, you know, 48-minute game, or I guess high school is more like 32-minute games, actually. But what did you think? What did you think about seeing Imani play, the warts and the things that jump out as positives that you obviously saw as well? What'd you think?
Well, my first question is, are we going to get a sequel to Ipsy's Imani called Minnie's Chat after that game? That was a really good performance by Chet Holmgren of that Minnesota team. That was, he was fun to watch as well.
Seven-footer who's considering going to the University of Michigan, played really well. Yeah.
But as far as Imani, it looked like, you know, speaking of Chet Holmgren there, it looked like Imani's competitiveness took over a little bit early in the game. When Chet Holmgren would do something big on one end of the court, it seemed like Imani wanted to try to come back and one-up him a little bit, and he tried to force some things. I think we saw that with a lot of some less than desirable three-point looks that he was taking. But as the game kind of started, wearing out, moved on, and he started to let the game come to him a little bit more. He kind of settled into it and showed, you know, everything you could hope for from, you know, a kid of that age already. His stock didn't fall in my eyes at all watching that game. Although in the fourth quarter, I would have liked to have, you know, seen him be a little bit more assertive and actually kind of try to attack that game a little bit more. It felt like he did that in the first quarter to not great results sometimes, and didn't do it as much in the fourth quarter that I hoped he would have kind of take a little bit more control of the game for the Ypsilanti team.
Yeah, the guards are good players as well. I mean, we had one of the guys going to Michigan State, and then another guy's a Division I recruit as well from Mount Clemens. So those are good players, and they're trying to kind of get their limelight too. It's kind of a chaotic situation, right? Because it's ESPN2. Everyone's going to – some of these guys, this is the pinnacle of their basketball careers, right? This will be their biggest basketball game of their lives on ESPN2, whereas, you know, Imani Bates, we figure, will be in the NBA – in another couple of years, and major college for Michigan State maybe down the line. So there's a lot of questions, and I don't really have as many answers as you might think. I know EJ and Imani. I don't have like a personal day-to-day relationship with them or anything like that. So everyone always asks me, I get the question a lot, you know, will he ever end up at Michigan State? I don't really know. Will he reclassify and play at Michigan State next year and skip his senior year, or just go straight from senior year next year to the NBA after that, if the 2022 one and done is rules gotten rid of? I don't know how that's going to happen. The pandemic has changed that too. So that one and done rule being changed might be pushed back to 2023. So he might not even have that choice in 2 years if that's what happens. Whereas maybe a year ago, we thought he was going to have that choice. So a lot of things are fluid. A lot of things have changed, but yeah, I agree with you. And I'm not, and I like EJ, and I like the fact that they're grabbing control of the situation. I appreciate that, because there's a little bit of a, you know, they are trying to capitalize on what they have right now. But like you said, going and playing for Tom Izzo or someone like that, it might be good for him down the line to reel in some of those 3-point shots, because it's going to be a rude awakening if you go from your dad to an NBA coach and an NBA situation. That's going to be a pretty big rude awakening for him. Not to play Monday morning quarterback, but he's one of these guys, and it's nice to stay in your hometown. It's nice to stay in the state of Michigan, but it's kind of the norm these days to go play for Montverde down in Florida for Kevin Boyle down there. And he's going to do everything he needs to do to make sure you're on the right track in terms of your skill development, your strength development. But he's also going to get in your grill a little bit and tell you that, you know, Ben Simmons played for me, D'Angelo Russell played for me. I can get you to listen to me because I have this track record of success, and it's going to be better for you to spend some time at one of these schools and be drill sergeant a little bit there. And I think that might have, you know, and again, we'll see how it all plays out, and good for them that they're kind of taking control of the situation. But he's just one of these guys who might have benefited from going down to one of these prep school situations. And again, being around your family, being around your friends, there's a lot to say for that, but it's just it's a tough call. And obviously we'll see how it all kind of works out, but I don't know how he's going to grow as a basketball player in this next year with IPSY Prep Academy.
Well, and, you know, we as a society kind of look at LaVar Ball and joke about, you know, how audacious and, you know, bombastic he is. But he kind of started the road that the family's kind of going down. Now, definitely. I don't think it's going to be as, you know, crazy or as big of a circus as the Ball family made it. But I think, you know, there you should give a little credit to LaVar Ball for showing that these guys are this immense talent, that there's a lot of money that's being made off of these kids at a younger and younger age, that they're able to get a hold of it, control it, keep it, you know, and kind of dictate how the things go. So I think we don't like to give, I guess, credit to LaVar because he is so outlandish with some of the comments he says, and Amani's father is certainly not that. But, you know, give credit where credit's due, that LaVar Ball is kind of the pioneer that went down this road first.
Yeah, absolutely. It's taking control of the situation, and LaVar turns it into something that he's capitalizing on individually, which EJ Bates is, you know, at some level doing, but not in the parts where he's like an entertainer. So yeah, it's a complicated, there's no blueprint, you know. I mean, we've seen stories of peril of these kind of situations. I mean, and there's no way, perfect way to handle these things. And I think Amani Bates is going to turn out great. I think he's going to be an NBA player. I think he's going to have his choice of a lot of different things in the future. I don't think the Pistons should change their franchise around so that they can draft him in a couple years. But if it happens, that would be great. And I think that playing for the hometown team would be amazing. And a lot of great things could happen with that. But I wish Amani and EJ and IPSY Prep Academy all the success in the world. And I appreciate the time that they gave us to put the documentary together. And just nothing for the best for a hometown kid that is super talented, a nice young man, and looking forward to watching him develop and be a great young and someday adult NBA player that makes his mark on the world. So congratulations so far to Amani Bates, and obviously we'll see how things go with IPSY Prep Academy, the Bates family, and how that might cross paths with Michigan State and maybe even the Detroit Pistons down the line. Who knows? But that wraps up this edition of this week of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday for a huge week of Pistons basketball.